granted, in Ogallala, Nebraska, it's a little colder than it is in Alabama. And we've all got flip-flops and shorts and T-shirt on in the middle of wintertime. Mm-hmm. So we're getting some looks.
Typical, you know, but, Alabama attire, yeah, for, yeah, winter.
Absolutely. Actually. So we go into Ogallala, Nebraska, and to make, we mentioned that to say this. The two that got surfing turf, Ryan and Richard, get somewhat of food poisoning, stomach virus, sickness. And I said, look, boys, you know, you got to set your purse down and buckle up because we're not stopping. We're on a duck hunting trip.
I'd rather be a woman in a weak man.
Absolutely.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm the Square Grouper guy.
And I'm Ryan Law.
Well, Square Grouper guy and Ryan Law have come back up. It hadn't been too long since we recorded with you, Skylar, but you called me right after that episode and you said, man, I forgot to tell you two stories that are just some of your favorites in life.
Yeah, they're world class.
So I mean, if you've heard this, some of these stories, you're thinking, can it get better? I tell you, I'm skeptical. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. So the bar is high. I just want to tell you that.
I know one of them and it's up there. So we're good.
All right, well, we're going to get to that in just a minute, get to the storytelling. Skylar has some great information for everybody tonight, and that's one of the reasons why he's back so soon. He's got a big opportunity for anybody out there that would like to duck hunt, and we're going to talk about that at the very end. But duck hunting?
We've always kind of, you know, done everything outdoors. You know, we're kind of the last generation before technology, social media, or whatever. So we've always had a... You know, a dog around the house, dog on the farm, dog, you know, we're just dog people. So it doesn't get cold a whole lot in Alabama, but when it does, it just gets brutally cold. And cold weather kind of feeds hand in hand with waterfowl. And waterfowl feeds hand in hand with a good duck dog. And
you had a jam up one. Well, Ty had one.
Well, I had a female named Mia, and she was just unbelievable. I mean, she was unbelievable. And Mia's boyfriend, I guess, would be my buddy. Her suitor would be
her partner.
Yeah, would be my buddy Ty Griswold's male dog, Cade. And Cade was just the epitome of what a lab should look like. Just a big old block-headed, big barrel-chested lab. I mean, just a good-looking dog. And Cade couldn't speak a word of English or any other language, but he knew exactly what every word of it meant. Like, he was just a part of the family. Like, you sat down, and I had another buddy that lived with us in college, and he would sit down and he would eat Laffy Taffy, and he'd take a bite of the Laffy Taffy and he'd just give Cade a bite of the
Stop
Laffy
it.
Taffy. And when he'd eat a bite of the Laffy Taffy, I mean, Cade would eat Skittles, Airheads, like everything.
I thought you were fixing to tell me Cade read the jokes on the Laffy Taffy wrapper.
He knew what they meant. And I mean, Cade was a great dog, and we hunted with him for years, but the one, and I'm sorry, but, like, I mean, it is too good. The one story that really sticks out in my mind, we're sitting there and we're watching these hunting videos on VHS tape.
Oh yeah,
and
TK Mike.
You know, we're kind of showing our age there, but we're watching. I don't even remember what show it was, but obviously it was some kind of duck hunting, and it was like in the single digits, like it was cold. And man, we're getting fired up, and they're crushing these ducks. It's highlight videos from all over the country, and Ty looks at me and he said, man, it's going to be so cold in the morning. You know the dead river's going to have birds on it. I mean, you know there's going to be birds down there. I can't believe we ain't going to go. And he just kept trash talking me. I said, look, I'm like boiled ham, son. I'm ready all the time.
All the time.
I can go. I said, look, you ain't got to talk much to talk me into skipping class. I'm ready. Let's go. He said, you for real? And I said, yeah. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, we'll just drive back to my grandmother's house and spend a night. And we'll, that way we ain't got to get up so early. And it's like 4:35 in the afternoon. So we load up, grab Cade, grab Mia, grab our stuff, and we go back to center. So we get there, and sure enough, the next morning, it is freezing cold.
Just as predicted.
I mean, it is freezing cold. So we grab the flat bottom boat and put all the decoys in there, and we put the boat in, and we're like breaking ice. Both of us are sitting on the, we just got the trolling motor turned on, and we're like breaking ice with the paddle. And I mean, it's cold. And the dogs are back there in the back, you know, and we get to where we're going and we take and break out a big circle and we push the ice up underneath the ice instead of like breaking it all up in little pieces. We just shove the whole circle up underneath the ice. And we get there and the dogs are right beside us, just faithful as they can be. Me and Kay just running around. They're helping us set the decoys and everything. And me and Ty are sitting right there. And we've got our coffee and our little hot hands, you know. And we're sitting there. And just about the time it gets shooting time, Kay's decided he's going to step up. Like, and Kay is a great dog, very well trained. He's like a human. And Ty keeps saying, Kay, sit. Well, he'd sit. And all of a sudden, he, you know, he'd start easing back up. Cade, sit.
A little more firm this time.
And he, like, Cade's just not behaving. And I'm like, Ty, you got to do something with this dog, man. He said, well, I don't want to shock him.
Yeah.
I said, well, go back there and stand beside of him or something. You know, because Cade and Mia knew the word place. And
yeah.
He, I mean, you tell them to sit or what. I mean, they
where knew. They were supposed to be. Yeah.
So anyway, Cade wasn't having it. Like he wasn't. They had never seen single digit temperatures before. And, you know, they'd been in cold weather, but it was cold.
Yeah. That's not normal. Let's go ahead and say not normal for Alabama.
Absolutely
but
not. No. I mean, it was.
So this was new to everybody.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, it runs on. And the first group comes in and we shoot two or three ducks. And Mia goes and gets them. And Cade is just, like, he's not having it. And, like, Ty finally, you know, has got him to sit down. And now he can't get Cade to go, which is completely against everything I've ever seen this dog do. So I'm thinking, there's no way, like, you know, maybe Cade's sick. And, and at this time, Ty's starting to get kind of worried about it. And finally, the next group come in, and Cade just, you know, boom, he's back to it. And Cade's just watching them. And those birds come in and he's just watching them. And we throw up, boom, 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 boom. So when the birds hit the water, I told Ty, send that dog. So he said, Cade. And when he gets up, he goes, yo, and just kind of just whimpers. I'm like, dude, what is going on with that dog? He said, man, I ain't got no idea.
It's got to be something with a shock collar or something.
I mean, we're thinking like maybe the shock collar is frozen and like shocked him,
you know, and he's shorted thinking, out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like we're running through all these scenarios and we can't figure out why Cade is acting the way he's doing. Mm-hmm. So Ty just finally takes the shock collar off of him. We're thinking it's like malfunctioning. So he gets back, he sits down, another group comes in, same thing. Yo, and goes again. So it's good in daylight now, and you know we're approaching the limit or whatever, and we finally get our birds and we start picking up decoys, and Mia's out there in the decoys with us, just walking around. Okay, he's up there, man, and
like a statue,
just sitting there, just barrel chested, just bowed up, you know, and he's not moving, but he's, you know, zoned in on us, and he looks like he's ready to go, mm-hmm. like he's not like whimpered down, and I mean it's not like he's really affected. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. We're going to, you know, put the decoys back in the boat, and Ty said, Cade, here. And Cade just sat there, just looked at it. And he never misbehaves at all. He said, Cade, here. And okay, gets up. And when he does, yo! And Cade had frozen his manhood to the boat.
Oh, son.
And there was little chia pets all over the top. Little flat top haircuts all over the boat. And it was hair and skin and a little. And man, I said, dude,
no wonder.
It wasn't the shock collar.
No.
It wasn't the shock collar. Cade was stuck to the boat, man. Yeah,
it was a shock, all right.
Man. Again, Cade was like a family member. Like he was like one of the guys, you know, he hung out with us and everything. And anywhere we went, Cade went. And you want to talk about feeling bad. Like, it never crossed our mind what was happening because Mia was sitting right beside
her. Yeah, Mia was going.
And Mia was good to go.
Of course she was.
But she didn't have the same problem, Kate.
No, she didn't.
She did not have the same problem.
It was a little different. Yeah.
But, man, we felt terrible. We felt awful about that. But we have laughed no telling how many times about that. And, you know, when we tell that story, everybody just dies laughing.
Oh, yeah.
What did you say? Cade never retrieved another. Look,
we never once even thought about putting Cade back in that flat bottom boat.
No.
Because if I'd have been Cade, man, the very first time I done it, I'd have just walked up the bank and said, look, y'all boys have it.
Y'all have it.
See y'all later.
He might have just been scared of a flat bottom boat from that day forward.
Look, I'm telling you, it scarred me. Yeah. It would have scarred me. No, ain't no doubt.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
You called me and you said, I forgot to tell you a good story that happened in a hotel with a friend of yours. So I just can't wait anymore. Like, I've got to hear this story and give it to us.
Well, it kind of goes back to waterfowl hunting again. You know, we've been everywhere. Like, when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. And we just get in a truck and drive until we can't drive anymore. And that's kind of where the story picks up, you know. And me and Ryan and two more of our buddies, we get in a truck and we leave from
Ryan gets drug into a lot of stuff. Look,
you've got to have.
If you follow this guy around, you always are getting drug into things.
Yeah.
But we have some good ideas.
Yes. And, I would agree with that 100%.
Yes.
So we get these ideas, you know, and we do some research and, you know, talk to people on the internet and R&D. Chat rooms. Yeah. I mean, researching. I am the research and development. And
that's
then
scary.
I try to and marketing, I guess, because I'm trying to market.
And it never works out.
No,
So we get every decoy that you can imagine, every species that you could come across, because we're going across the 50 states, man. I mean, we're going road trip. And we also get Ryan's wife's pontoon boat cover. And she was pumped about it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
When she got it back, she was really excited too.
Oh, I'm sure she just loved Skylar Ray for what happened.
So we look like the Clampets heading out.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
see it.
Coolers on top of
Let
the truck.
Let me tell you about a story of a man named Jed.
Yeah. So we've got stuff ratchet strapped to the top of the truck. We've got stuff, you know, piled on the boat. We've got a mud motor ratchet strapped to the fender of the boat trailer.
Yeah, it's a great place for it.
Why would you put
why
it anywhere
not?
Else?
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's made for it.
And we had everything tarp because we didn't want it soaking wet when we got to where we were going. You know, we want to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the boat tarp comes in.
Yeah. Keep everything dry.
And it had to
if
have
you're
it.
Wondering how many miles a boat tarp, a factory made boat cover will last. It will
while
make
slapping
it
against a mud motor.
Yeah, while slapping against our fenders and, mm-hmm. you know.
Layout boats on top.
I mean, all kinds of miscellaneous equipment. It will go from Center Alabama to Ogallala, Nebraska.
That's how far it'll
and
go.
And there's where it stops.
Draws
there's,
the line.
And then, by the way, there was no form of precipitation whatsoever between Center Alabama and Ogallala,
unneeded.
Nebraska.
Dry.
What?
But then you hit Nebraska.
You look back, and that boat tarp resembled Christy Brinkley's hair in the Chevy Chase movie.
Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, absolutely. Or, well,
Summer
Vacation. Oh, National
Summer
Lampoon.
Vacation. National Lampoon. Mm-hmm. So that boat tarp is just flowing in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just flopping. So we stop in Ogallala, Nebraska. We pull off, and we get us a – we take the tarp off, wad it up. Throw it in a trash can at the Bass Pro Shop, I think is what it is. And then we go to the Bass Pro Shop looking for another boat cover.
Yeah, because Mama's going to be real happy.
Yeah, we're going to need to replace that. Yeah. Yeah, because much like my house, we're not the boss at our
house.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's a facade.
Happy
I got
wife,
you.
Happy life. Life is looking dim at this point. So anyway, we couldn't find a boat cover. And I thought, well, you know, we ain't ate anything except bologna sandwiches since center, and there's an Applebee's. So we decided we'd eat good in the neighborhood and go on over to Applebee's. So Ryan and Richard get, what did you?
We get the steak and the shrimp. Love the steak
turf
and shrimp.
Turf and surf, baby.
That's right.
Combo.
And we're hungry.
Did like, you put your shoes on before you went in?
We did. Okay. We did. And it's, granted, in Ogallala, Nebraska, it's a little colder than it is in Alabama. And we've all got flip-flops and shorts and T-shirt on in the middle of wintertime. Mm-hmm. So we're getting some looks.
Typical,
you know,
but, Alabama attire for winter.
Absolutely. Actually. So we go into Ogallala, Nebraska, and to make – we mentioned that to say this. The two that got surf and turf, Ryan and Richard, get somewhat of food poisoning, stomach virus, sickness. And I said, look, boys, you know, you're going to have to set your purse down and buckle up because we're not stopping. We're on a duck hunting trip.
I'd rather be a woman in a week, man.
Absolutely. So they just kind of get in the back seat, and me and Terry get in the front. Man.
After it.
Driving. So we just hammer on down. And we pull into Salt Lake City, Utah, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And when we pull into Salt Lake City, Utah, Ryan is green. Like,
yeah, I'm deathly sick.
Like, he's been sick. Puking from Ogallala, Nebraska to Salt Lake City, like in Walmart size.
Which is not a 3-hour drive.
No.
No. And we've been up since we left Center, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So they're back there saying, man, look, y'all can go. And we're looking forward to going hunting on the Salt Lake.
And when you're that sick, there is nothing that will get you out. Like, you can, no. I don't care if I go and I make a million, I'm not going. I don't care.
It was awful.
I'm that sick.
Yeah. Oh, and it was bad. So it gets daylight. And I said, look, you know, y'all sit in here with the heat on, we're going duck hunting. Well, we didn't know anything about the Salt Lake. So being the responsible waterfowl hunters that we are, we weren't going to put in right at daylight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not really sun up shooting time, but you could see, and there's more birds than you can possibly imagine just piling out of this mountain range behind us. Like, I don't know where they're roosted, but I mean, there was more birds than I've ever seen anywhere. And they're just piling out of the mountains.
And we're sitting there by a gate to a public boat access, waiting for it to open at this time. Well, we sit there, the birds piling in. Well, we decide it's time to pull on through the gate. Well, there's a park ranger, somebody opens the gate up. Well, Richard's driving. Keep in mind, we got the mud motor on the side of the trailer.
Yeah, it's on the side.
Oh, yeah. Well, we start to pull through it. Well, the gate starts to close, nearly hits the side of Skyler's truck, and it rips the mud motor slap off the side of the boat trailer, rips the fender off the boat trailer, and warps the axle on the boat trailer, and we rip the state gate over in the weeds. All
up out of the ground.
What kind of gate was it?
Is the park ranger looking in the rear view
I have no idea. He's ahead of us. So we just keep right on going. The axle is sideways. So
we're thinking the park rangers came. He's opened the gate
For him to get in.
Well, or for yeah. for us. For everybody to come in. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, this is like Six Flags. They open the gate. Mm-hmm. You go in and have a good time. Park ranger comes. He opens the gate. We're on our way in to have a good time. We're the first car behind him. The next thing I know, Richard just guns it like he's trying to hot lap Talladega. Whoa! And he's going, and all of a sudden, boom, and it just rips the gate up out of the ground. And Ryan said, I've seen closer. So he's starting to feel
a lot better.
He's starting to feel a little bit better. Yeah. Now, granted, we've ruined a boat tarp. We've ruined a boat trailer,
a mud motor.
That's never been run. We bought it brand new.
I mean, we've destroyed, I don't know, you know, maybe $10,000 worth of stuff, and we hadn't fired a shot nor put a decoy in the water or even, you know, really seen a duck.
Other than those flying in from the mountain.
Other than those flying in. So anyway, we go on down there and we go hunting and like a froze to death. And if you don't know anything about the Salt Lake, I mean, you can see your shoelaces for a step or two, and then all of a sudden, it's just over your head. It's like coral reef out there. And I mean, it is treacherous. Like, it is unbelievably hard to hunt. So we scratch out like 4 or 5 mallard ducks in Utah and get right back in the truck with no sleep now, and continue driving. And we get into, I don't even know where we're at. I have no idea.
We went through a snowstorm. I know that because we run 10 mile an hour for about 20 hours.
Mm-hmm. Like we're in a like we're in mm-hmm. the Rockies and in a snowstorm,
like a fish out of water.
Like we are like scared to death. Like we've got the lights on the roof rack on. We've got the lights on the bumpers on. We've got every light we can, and we can't see
holding your flashlight out the window.
Can't see the windshield wipers on the front.
So
of the truck.
We run out of diesel fuel. And we stop in the middle of the night. Like this is like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And we've been driving for
a long time. Yeah.
And we're approaching 48 hours with no sleep.
And starting seeing some things.
We stop and get diesel fuel. And when we stop and get diesel fuel, the wind's blowing like 40, 45, 50 miles an hour, sustained winds. Mm-hmm. And it's snowing as hard as I've ever seen it snow. You know, again, I'm not a snow expert. I'm from Alabama, but it's snowing hard and it's accumulating and it's blowing across the road. And we're getting a little bit nervous. And still, though, we've got to get to Seattle. And
got
I said,
a mission to and go right, on.
That's what I'm thinking. But now
the R&D guy.
But I hadn't had
the R&D says.
And he's been in the backseat sleeping like 98% of the trip. So.
But I didn't have a stomach virus, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know. Ryan is wanting, hey, man, let's stop and get a motel. And Richard's like second in him. So, you know, we're kind of outnumbered. And the other guy, he's a young guy. So he's just going to go along with everything. Mm-hmm. He's a super good guy. And I'm wanting him to be like, man, come on, man. Tell him we're going to drive.
He was feeling a little bit lenient.
We don't care if they're comfortable. They ain't going to die. Yeah. I mean, they may be sick and puking the floor. We got to drive. So anyway, we get to this hotel. And when we get to this hotel, it looks like a halfway house. Like I wouldn't put anybody that I don't even like in this place. Like I'm scared to death and I'm a big guy, but I mean, it's one of those places, all jokes aside, I loaded my shotgun and my deer rifle, or excuse me, my shotgun and my pistol and put it beside the bed. And it's also one of those places that like I did not take a shower. I hadn't had a shower in 2 days, and I did not take a shower. And I laid with my suitcase on top of the bed, and I just slept with my head on my suitcase that had been in the back of my truck. That'll tell you what kind of hotel.
But it was real cheap, though. You know, yeah, rates were cheap.
Real rates.
Good value. Yes, yes.
Money saver. So anyway, and it was a.
Are these doors to the outside or doors to the inside?
Doors to the inside. Okay. Doors to the inside.
Well, that's kind of.
So Ryan and Richard are sharing a room, and me and Terry are sharing a room.
You didn't want stomach virus.
No, no.
And he snores like a freight train, so.
That's an opinion.
That's beside the point.
I mean, let's don't pick on people for their
disabilities.
Yeah, well, misfortunes. Anyway.
Misfortunes.
So anyway, they're taking a room, and we're taking a room. Well, Richard, again, has been sick, and Ryan's been sick, and Richard goes in, he's going to take a shower, and I'm just going to bring stuff in from the vehicle. So I had to get their key and my key. And I knocked on the door and got their key. I go unload the truck. And Ryan goes out and helps me. And Terry is helping me. And Richard's taking a shower. Well, he doesn't know it, but I've got his key.
Oh, Richard doesn't know it.
Richard doesn't know it. Like, because we're actually being productive and Richard's, you know, having a spa day. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're at the long, like the hallway to this motel is like, I don't know, 40 or 50 yards long. And the door to get outside is out there is where the truck is. So when we come back in, I've got a double handful of stuff and everybody's got a double handful of stuff. And you look 40 or 50 yards down the hallway, and the Michelin man is sitting there in his birthday suit on a luggage cart.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Richard has locked himself out of the room in his birthday suit. So he looks like a busted can of biscuits. And there's people walking by.
And he's just sitting there.
And they're like, these people are walking by Richard. And this is not like the Ritz-Carlton. Like, this is like,
oh yeah!
Like I'm sure they're thinking,
this guy is. Well, yeah. I don't know what he's got a hold of, but he has got a hold of something.
So Richard is sitting there, just nothing on but a smile, just grinning from ear to ear, And those people were walking by, and I mean, I'm thinking, why?
Covering himself like Adam.
Why is he sitting out here like this? Why is he sitting out there like this?
He really is sick.
And, I mean, he wasn't thinking. And we get up there, and I'm expecting Richard to just be like frantic. Like, like, dude, why'd you leave me out here? And I get up there, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he said, I was just, looking for my stuff. I locked myself out of the room. And I said, why are you outside? He said, I just wasn't thinking. And I'm sitting here the whole time, and Richard's just sitting there just looking at me like we'd be like sitting at the Waffle House. Like this is a normal activity,
This is every day.
Yeah, I mean, like he's just completely okay with it. And I'm thinking, well, okay, man, here's your stuff. He said, thanks, man. And he just walks in. And the next morning, I'm like, dude, do you realize that you were sitting...
scaring people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the cops had to be on their way.
Yeah, he looks like...
Oh, this was normal activity at the place we were staying.
Well, I must say I don't know if it was normal, but it wasn't the first time.
Like, we didn't set a precedent or anything. But anyway, so...
Whose suitcase was he sitting on?
No, it wasn't a suitcase.
Some unfortunate person.
It was the luggage rack.
It was the luggage rack, the little thing on wheels that you carry your bags in. Richard's just sitting there. He's just propped up.
Like if somebody had toted him up there on the... I would have been losing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like Richard was as calm as you would
be.
Sitting there with a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing he had on was a smile.
I'd have been trying to crawl back under the door or something. I don't know what I've been doing, but I wouldn't have been sitting there on the luggage cart.
There is no telling what you're going to encounter if you get in that truck and go on one of these trips.
I believe
so. It was determined, though, that Richard was in his right mind, was not delusional. It was not because of dehydration or anything like that.
No, I mean,
he just simply made a mistake.
He just made a mistake, locked himself out, and he's just
might as well make the best of it.
Hey, just suffering the consequences.
Maybe he was thinking, if I make a scene, I'm going to draw more attention to myself than if I were to just sit here like this is.
Yeah,
pretended to be a mannequin.
Yeah, I mean, I really like. That's not something I really want to talk about with one of my male friends.
Yeah,
but he's
perfectly comfortable where he.
He was comfortable in his own skin. Funny.
Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
You got some stuff coming up here, and you're talking about duck hunting. I'm going to tell this one. It kind of ties dove hunting and duck hunting together. When we first started, y'all have been doing it a lot longer than I have. I don't know anything about duck hunting. I'm going to just be honest with you. I go with Brian. I go with you. But it's just because you say, hey, you want to go duck hunting. I would never call and say, Skyler, hey, buddy, I got a plan. We're going to go duck hunting. We got this. You'd look at me and say,
don't do it because I'll go.
I believe it.
Have plan. We'll travel.
We'll figure it out later. Right? You've been doing some R&D on that, some research and development. Yeah,
give him 30 minutes to do his R&D and y'all be ready.
30 minutes. He don't need but five.
About five.
30 seconds, man.
When we first got started, my cousin Tyler called me. He said, hey, I think we can kill some ducks down there on the river. I said, man, that'll be fun. Let's try to do it. I, again, had no idea about duck hunting. And he had went and got some probably down at Academy and bought him a few wood duck decoys. And, you go on the river down here and you'll see some wood ducks here and there. And I called Brian. I told him what we were doing. I said, Brian, we're going to go duck hunting in the morning. He said, Shane, you don't know nothing about duck hunting. Mm-hmm. He said, if I wanted to call and talk to you about engineering or maybe some site work or something like that, you'd say Shane be the guy to talk to. But when it comes to duck hunting, you are not the man that I would call. I said, Brian, hey, don't be jealous. You're just jealous because we're going to go kill a few birds. And he said, where are you going to hunt anyway? I said, we're going to go wood duck. We're going to kill some wood ducks. He said, how are you going to do it? I said, we're going to go down the river.
With a gun.
We got some decoys and we're going to put them out. And he just kind of giggled. He said, you can't decoy wood duck. I said, of course you can decoy wood duck. He said, you can't decoy wood duck, Shane. I said, you hide in the bushes and watch. We're going to put decoys out and we're going to kill a wood duck. So Tyler and I got this big plan together. We called my uncle, Uncle Bull.
Mm.
I said, Bull, hey, we're going to the river if you want to go duck hunting. He said, well, I ain't never done no duck hunting, but I ain't doing nothing in the morning, so I'll load up with you. So we all three struck out for daylight, head down to the river. We got our little set out, you know, threw a couple wood ducks out there, and boy, it was pretty. Bull said, he said, hey, I'm going to walk up the river just about 30 yards. I said, okay. There's a big flat rock. He went up there and sat on that flat rock. Me and Tyler sitting there. And I guess Brian had kind of gotten in my head. I figured after talking to him, I was like, we ain't going to see nothing. You know, he's done taught me out of being able to decoy wood duck. And so I'd done kicked back. I'd done, you know, laid back on a stump, and my gun was down on the side. And me and Tyler were just more or less just chit-chatting, which is what you do when you dove hunt, really. I mean, that's you dove hunt and you chit-chat.
You're just sat there talking like we are. That's what I like about it.
That's right.
I mean, you don't really sit there and be quiet like you do when you're deer hunting.
See, and so we just chit-chat. And I hear, and I hear Bull say, over. I said, Tyler, what did he just say? Tyler said, I think he said over. I said, over? Man, that's what you say when you dove hunt. You see a bird, you know, over. And I look up, and there is a wood duck about 15 foot off of the water, just hovering right over them decoys. And I said, Tyler, is that a wood duck? He said, yeah, that's a wood duck. And about the time we both got our guns up, it took off like a lightning bolt. And I said, I wish I would have gotten a video of that wood duck coming in those decoys like a champ.
Well, now, the reason Brian's telling you that, Brian's been on several of those Cheer-a-pet boat.
Oh, yeah.
He's been there.
Yeah, old Brian's been down that river a time or two, and I'm sure he's got some, like, a little bit of PTSD about it. And we've never had a whole lot of luck decoying wood ducks, per se. But now, if you're where they want to be, they'll lie.
And that's exactly what he said. And that's what it come down to. That day, we just happened to be right where that Drake wood duck was wanting to land. But I will never forget my uncle throwing the old dove field over.
Over! Bird, over!
Over. And a wood duck just come right on in there, buddy. But we did decoy a wood duck. We did not kill the wood duck.
But, well, now, if you called the wrong person. You should have called anybody but Brian. Just
Steve.
Scroll through your phone. You see Brian, just keep scrolling. Because if you said, Brian, we're going to load the flat bottom boat up in the morning, and there's going to be a guy at the other end of the river at the boat ramp giving out $100 bills. Yeah, but he'll probably give you $100 in ones.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants $1 bills? Yeah, I know there's 100 of them.
Something negative,
I mean,
to say. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
If there's any possible way it can be negative, Brian's going to figure it out.
He will find a way, that's for sure.
It's summertime. The days are heating up and the grass is growing. You don't want to spend all that time out there in your yard cutting grass, so why don't you go on down to West Blunt Lawn and Tractor and see Amy and let her put you on a brand new commercial Husqvarna or Exmark lawnmower. Beyond commercial lawnmowers, she has implements such as weed eaters, chainsaws, leaf blowers, and more. Parts, service, right here in Hayden, Alabama. Located right on 160. Stop in there and see Amy today and learn how she can help you to get to enjoying more of your summer right now.
I want to go. I got one to tell about the being sick. I never told it on the show, but it reminded me of when you're talking about them getting the stomach virus. Well, I was in a hunting club about York, Alabama, you know, over there right on the west side of Alabama, near the line.
Deer hunting?
Oh, yeah, we're deer hunting. Yeah, duck hunting, we don't have any water around here, I guess, is why we don't duck hunt. I don't know. Neither one of us has ever really done it much. But anyway, so we were going deer hunting, and I carried a buddy of mine. I'm not going to say his name on here. Don't have permission. But anyway, he comes all the way down from Hartsel. We go, beautiful day, supposed to be a beautiful weekend. We're all excited. I think it was actually, I can tell you what weekend it was. It was when Alabama was playing Tennessee. So we get down there. It's beautiful. We're ready to go. We wake up that morning, and all it is thunder and lightning. Hmm. I'm talking about, and rain just pouring down on that tin roof. I look at him. He looks at me, and I said, I am not hunting in this. I said, I don't hate them that much. I'm not that mad at him. He said, well, I don't really care to go either. I was hoping you'd say that. I said, well, Alabama is playing Tennessee today. Well, now, the hunting house we stayed in down there was built in about 1910. It barely had electricity, much less a TV, cable, anything. We didn't own a TV. There was no TV in the house. He said, well, where are we going to go watch the Alabama game? And I said, well, the Golden Moon's got TVs, and it's only about 45 minutes, an hour from here. I said, we can – the Alabama's playing kind of, I don't know what it is, but 3 o'clock game, something like that. I said, we got plenty of time to get over
joint.
There.
Yeah. Huh? Barbecue joint.
No, the big casino.
Oh!
Over there. Yeah.
Oh!
You got to think about it. So people that don't know, there's nothing down there.
There's nothing.
I'm talking
– rattlesnakes and pine trees.
That's it. So we strike out in my truck, and we go to the Golden Moon, and we sit in there, and we watch the Alabama game, have a good time. And right before we go, nothing to eat either in either direction. Mm-hmm. And he said, we better get us something to eat before we get out of here. And I said, that's a fine idea. So we go to the quick eat place. They're not the buffet. They have a, you know, like a little deli thing where they cook. So we order the same thing. We both order a bacon cheeseburger and fries. We're hungry. You know, we like bacon cheeseburgers.
Right on that.
Yeah. So I'm eating that cheeseburger, and I stop, which is rare. Because once I start eating, I'm going to finish.
Yeah, normally not inspecting a whole lot.
I barely breathe, much less talk or stop or anything like that. Well, I stop, and I pull that sandwich down. I looked at him. I said, does this taste funny to you?
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And he's just powering it down. He said, no, I don't think he's tasted it yet to know that it tasted funny. He said, no, it's fine.
A little bit of affirmation is all
I
you
said,
need.
That's all right. Well, maybe it's just me. So anyway, I finished that burger, fries. We go get in the truck, fire up the Chevrolet Z71, and we're headed out. Well,
back
east,
to York.
Headed back to York. And there's a little community college called East Mississippi Community College, and it's not far from
Last
the Golden
Chance
Moon.
U.
Is that what it is?
It's Last Chance U on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's where it's in Scuba, Mississippi.
That's the right one I'm talking about.
100%.
Okay, good. I want to get that college name right. So we're going down through there, and you know that that you know what I'm talking about.
You can feel it.
The first one, that just a little.
I know what you're talking about.
Your stomach just—it's like a little announcement, like something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Well, I'm going down through there. And then about that time, my mouth starts watering.
Oh.
And I said, I got to pull over. Why? I said, well, I'm either going to pull over or you're going to clean this truck out. It's one or the other. And he said, by all means, pull over. So I pulled over in the parking lot of East Mississippi Community College and did my thing. And, you know, after you do your thing, you feel better. Yeah, you feel better. Yeah, it's exited. There's nothing else in you. You think you're good. Get back in the truck. And I said, I'm glad I did that. I knew that cheeseburger didn't taste good. He's like, well, man, I'm fine. I said, okay. We'll get back on the road. And it's 45 minutes, 30 minutes. And on, what is that, 17? Two-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm driving 55. And then all of a sudden, it's not over.
Oh, round
it's not
two.
Over.
It's only just begun.
It's only just begun. Man, I drove all the way. I'm talking about from East Mississippi College to the door of our hunting steps where the governor would knock off my truck and he'd come back on it, knock off and he'd come back. He's like, man, you're going to get a ticket.
Slow down.
I said, I don't care what happens at this point. I said, I'm getting back to the hunting club so that I can take care of all this because it ain't going to stop. And lo and behold, all night, well, about 1 o'clock, I was kind of done. You know, everything was, I felt like it had run its course. The bacon cheeseburger done its thing. And about that time, I hear, that screen door snap up and there he goes out there. He's calling Ralph in the front yard. I said, that bacon cheeseburger was not good. It was not, it got both of us.
And this is at the Golden Moon.
Yep. And nothing against them. I mean, you know,
the Golden Moon.
It was just a bad, night. But so the next day I got up and you know how you feel after you've done that. I don't know how you powered through and went on to solid.
No.
I didn't want to leave.
He either powered through or he stays at the boat ramp.
Well,
yeah, you got to go.
You were faced with a different option.
You can be sick at that boat ramp or you can be sick in the backseat of that truck.
You're still sick.
lesser of two evils.
Well, I told him, I said, look, I said, it's Sunday morning. And I said, I feel so bad. I was so dehydrated and all those things. I said, I'm not driving back. I said, I'll call in tomorrow. I'll do whatever, but I'm staying right here today unless you're willing to take the keys, load my stuff in the truck and put me in there. He said, I'll start packing now.
I'll pack
He packed everything up.
Really?
That's and all I had to do was get in the truck. No, he wanted to get home.
He's ready to go home. Homesick.
He's ready to get home. And that was, I'm going to tell you what I learned.
I've got a golden moon story for you.
Guess what I didn't do after that? One, I don't know that I've ever been back there.
You hadn't been back
there? No, back to the Golden Moon.
Oh.
And the second thing.
If it tastes funny.
I stop right then.
That's good enough.
Well, I still eat at Applebee's every week. So it didn't faze me any.
So you talk about the Golden Moon. All right.
Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
The Golden Moon is a fine establishment. I've been there many times.
It's got a big ball up there.
And most of the customers at the Golden Moon are cut from the same cloth that I am. They're just down home good folks, you know, and they're looking, they're looking for lady luck. So
beautiful lady.
Yeah, it is when she shows up. So anyway, we're sitting at the table at the Golden Moon. And, I've been sitting there with my dad and, one of our cousins, and we're just having a good time. I'm not, you know, a gambler. I just look at it as like a, you know, like a movie ticket. You know, I go in with like $100, you know, if it costs $100 to take your family to the bowling alley, you know, or a baseball game or a football game, I'm going in with this amount of money and I fully intend on giving it to them. You know, I'm just supporting the
cause.
I'm supporting a tribe down there, man.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so, anyway, we're sitting there and, I've been sitting at this table for 30 or 45 minutes. I'd win a hand, lose a hand, $5 hand blackjack. You know, not high stakes, you know, or high pressure, just, you know, good time. If you've never been at the Golden Moon, everybody there loves cigarettes. They love them. And they partake in a lot of them.
One right after the other.
Absolutely. Like you're like.
Sometimes two at a time.
Like you're blowing and like, oh yeah. Hey, 2-7. I'm beat again. So anyway, we're sitting there playing blackjack. And the lady comes around and she says, would you gentlemen care for anything to drink? And I said, absolutely. I would like a Coca-Cola Classic, red, white, and you. And she just kind of laughs and she said, is that an original Coke? And I said, yes, ma'am, just Coca-Cola. She goes around, the next guy orders something, And comes to this guy that's been sitting like two chairs away from me. And she gets to him and she said, sir, would you like anything? And he, yes, ma'am. He just kind of nods his head, doesn't say anything. And he looks at his hand. She said, well, what can I get you, sir? And he takes a big, long drag off that cigarette. Looks her right in the eye and says, Bud Light. And I swear, I thought, oh, Lord have mercy. I thought I was going to have to be airlifted off that seat. I have laughed right in his face. And I said, man, just take another drag off that cigarette. Nobody likes a quitter.
So he had to cover up his trach. Oh, he'd already had surgery.
Oh, yeah. He's got the trach and all. And he looks her right in the face and says, Bud Light. And I said, man. It couldn't have been any funnier. Like that. That was.
Unless he would have took a draw from the trach. Oh,
now, if he does that.
They do that at the hospital.
No, they don't.
Oh, no, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not laughing at somebody with a trach, but I mean, I'm laughing at somebody that's going to take a draw.
I mean, that's you. If you want it, you'll figure out how to get it.
Absolutely. I call it putting it in four-wheel drive, putting that cigarette in four-wheel drive. You know, because if the first two lifts don't get it, put it in the next two. Just drop it down into 4x2. Look, you're going to get that cigarette smoke in there however you want to, son. I mean, if you put that cigarette in four-wheel drive, that smoke's getting in them lungs, son. And it goes back to our last podcast. Nobody likes a quitter.
Nope.
I mean, if you smoke, hey.
Speaking of nobody likes a quitter, what have you got for us here?
Well, we have got a unique opportunity to kind of get everybody involved in the duck hunting. And this podcast is, has been kind of awesome, you know, for us and what we do and for y'all. And, you know, I think everybody enjoys listening to you guys. I know I do and we do. So we're sitting there and we always have people asking us, hey man, will you take us hunting? Hey man, will you take us hunting? And there's just not enough hunting season or not enough, room spots to take everybody. So it was kind of his idea.
Yeah. We were sitting around one night and I said, hey, let's just see if we can't give a chance or a raffle on something. And we put together an all-inclusive hunt. And Skyler's buddies with Sam Hunt, the country music singer.
Hold that one up.
This one?
Yeah.
Just hold it up like this, and I'll try to zoom into it.
Sorry. Go ahead, John.
But anyhow, we put together an all-inclusive duck hunt with country music superstar Sam Hunt for $25 a chance. You're going to get an opportunity if you win for two mornings of duck hunting, all the food. I mean, it's a really awesome event. If you'll buy your tickets before August the 30th, you're going to be entered in for a bonus drawing. We're having a dove hunt. So one lucky winner is going to win that. And if you win the dove hunt, you're still in into the big hunt. And we've got a lot of other opportunities coming along, a lot of bonus drawings.
So the hunt, though, is going to be 2 days, you said, and it's going to be here in Alabama at TC Duck Club. Is that that's who's putting it out?
That is correct. That. And a lot of people think Alabama is not a place you can kill ducks. I'm 37 years old, and we've been doing it for about 23 years of my life, and I promise you, you can kill ducks in Alabama.
I've seen what these boys can do, and they can put a hurting on the ducks.
Well, you know, we don't live in a flyway, but we do live on one of the largest man-made lakes in the country. I mean, and so it attracts a lot of waterfowl, and so does the agriculture in the area. So, you know, and all these hunts are going to be on private land, heated pits. Like, it's top-notch, world-class hunting. I mean, we scratch out a bunch of different varieties. I mean, it's nothing to go and kill 8 or 10 different types of species of ducks.
Now, you ain't going over to Hog Island and killing them, one of them things.
The cormorants? No, but everybody on Wise Lake wish they would. There's nobody. They don't have any friends in Center Alabama.
We did some work over there. I guess it was this past spring. Man, we passed by that island out there they sit on, and it was as wide as that sheet of paper from them just
what
pooping.
Is this?
Cormorant.
I've never even heard of that.
They call them water turkeys. You've heard people talk about the water turkeys.
Buddy, they make a mess. Yeah,
they eat up all the fish, and they kill all the trees. They roost in the trees on little islands and stuff, and they are more hated than the Canadian geese. But
they're federally protected,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just kidding about that. These boys ain't going to take you to shoot cormorants, but they do have a really nice spot there in Cherokee County that I have seen with my own eyes, but it's a pretty place.
And we've gotten, you know, it started out just a way to, you know, make a fair way to get our, you know, get people involved in it and get, you know, take people duck hunting. And, you know, again, like we've had some massive, support from like some big name people. You know,
well, I mean, Sam Hunt is a pretty big name.
Hunt's as big as they get. And he is an awesome human being. Like if you've ever been around a genuinely awesome human being, Sam Hunt is down to earth and as good a person as you'd ever want to meet.
Now, let me also say this. If you don't know anything about Skyler, he is a persistent individual. How many times did you have to call him before he ever answered when he was on tour?
Well, I called him one time, and his manager, who we also went with, just, hey, let me get back to you. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
When is this? And he was like, yeah, we're in. We want to shoot him.
Ready to go.
So, you know, again, he's hunted with us several times before. One time, one of these podcast deals, I'll tell you the story about us duck hunting with Sam and me sitting on a fire ant bed. I mean, I was engulfed in fire ants. Mm-hmm. You know, so I ruined a good duck hunt that morning.
Maybe we'll get Sam to tell his version of that.
He needs to come on and meet you guys. Mm-hmm. You were at the.
I was invited to go to the video, and you said, "Hey, come on up and be." It was the Raised on It.
No, that's not what I, yeah, when he done the video, mm-hmm. But were you not at the apartment that, you know, when he would come over and play at UAB? Mm-mm.
Evan would say, hey, let's go over and listen to Sam Hunt. And I was like, man, I was in engineering school. I was a geek back then. So,
well, I'd known
a little
Sam.
Nerd, you know, I was just,
you know, everybody tries to play an instrument at one point in time, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, I'd known Sam forever, you know, since I was eighth, ninth grade, you know, in high school mm-hmm. and, you know, we're at UAB and Sam says, "Hey man, I'm going to invite some people to the house and, let's you know, get some people over at your house and let's play the guitar tonight. Let's sing a little bit.
Just put on a little show."
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, right.
Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
So, you know, and he starts out and opens up the case and pulls that pick out. And I mean, I'm thinking this guy's pretty good. And, you know, it just kind of, that was my first taste of it. He played my wedding and the show he put on at my wedding was it was a lot more spectacular than the wedding or the marriage. and nearly lasted as long. You know,
I mean, first one was pretty short, though.
Yeah, but
everybody's.
Well, it should. If I could do as good from 2 to 3 as I did from 1 to 2, I'd put the one I got now on the road tonight. But, you know.
We won't air this.
You should. She knows how I feel about her.
That's an unsubscribe on that video. Unsubscribe. We know exactly
who unfollowed us there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
It's going to be a good time. And if they want to find out any more information about this, though, they need to find TC Duck Hunt or TC Duck Club on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Or just drive to Center, Alabama and
ask, see somebody named Ryan Law or Skylar Ray?
Well, I don't know so much about Skylar Ray, but they know this guy.
They know that man.
They know that guy.
Whether they love him or hate him, they know him.
One way or another, they love me or hate me.
They particularly know him when he comes through with that nice, pretty, shiny, smelly truck that he drives around.
Absolutely. It's like perfume to a farmer. Yeah,
absolutely. It smells like money.
Yeah, chicken house. That's what it smells like to the people who own it.
Yep.
Money.
That manure for sure does. But them folks that don't know about it.
If I had his money, I'd burn mine.
Absolutely. Well, you'd be looking for somewhere to eat tonight then.
We could go to Applebee's.
Yeah.
You eat it twice.
Or can go to the Golden Moon. The Golden Moon.
You had a better experience than I did, so.
Well, I try to find the joy in all things, but.
Well, Ryan, before we go, do you got anything you want to tell? You got a story you want to tell before we go?
The only thing I can think of, you're talking about the thunderstorm down there in York.
Yeah.
We hunted down there at my dad's. Actually, where one of these hunts are going to take place, probably we were 23, 24 year old. It was his first year teaching at Center. Mm-hmm. He called me that morning. It was about 4:30, and he said, "Hey, Ryan, are we still going in the morning? Are we still going this morning?" I said, "Yeah, we're going." He said, "It's coming a thunderstorm." I said, "It'll be fine. We'll kill them."
They don't care.
Oh, no, they fly great when the weather's worth.
And you know, to his benefit, I will admit, you know, you watch these duck hunting videos, everybody in these Western states, you know, where they live on flyways, they want blue skies. Mm-hmm. In Alabama, you want
get them when they got there.
Well, the nastier the weather.
The nastier the weather, the better. Mm-hmm. Like, so again.
He shows up at my dad's house. I was still living at home, and I bummed his waders, his shotgun, good friends, you know, take care of their friends, his four-wheeler, his dog. Well, it's just me and him. Nobody else.
He showed up with a habit.
Yeah, all you wanted to do was hunt.
He showed up with – no, he had a bunch of ducks. So, I mean, I was okay with
it. We drive down there, and it's like 75 degrees, and it's coming the worst thunderstorm, lightning, ground-to-ground lightning. And I said, "Hey, this morning," I said, "we need to sit on this metal tile." Mm-hmm. I said, "Be a good place to sit."
Yeah, fine place to sit.
So we sit on a ditch tile, metal, and we shoot our limit in about 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm. It didn't take long.
It didn't take long at all.
Really?
Yes.
We're sitting there now, and this, let me back up. So he said we're sitting on this tile, and our limit didn't take but about 45 seconds, and it didn't. We're down there picking out the Drake widgeons. Like, we're shooting nothing but Drake widgeons, and we knew they were there because we looked at them through the spotting scope. So I'm like, "Dude, there's a ton of them here. If they're going to decoy because it's raining, just shoot the Drakes." And we're shooting Drake widgeons, and that's it. And, you know, widgeon's not a very, common duck in Alabama. And we're shooting straight cotton tops. And we're down there. But now, it didn't take but 45 seconds. But we sat on that metal tile for 45 minutes in cloud-to-ground lightning, just popping everywhere. And I'm thinking, I didn't do real good in science class, but this ain't smart.
Something is off.
Metal's
right
a conductor. We're knee deep in water, and we're sitting on a metal mm-hmm. drainage ditch tile. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, we get through killing them. He was still at school that morning at 7:05.
Wow. Back at school.
I mean, it was one of the quickest hunts ever. Like, I mean, it was a very, very quick hunt. And you talk about being successful. We'll give you one where we're not successful. So we're scouting this ditch. And when you hear whistling ducks, you know, widgeons, mm-hmm. You know, in January, you never know what's going to be down there because it's, you know, 500 acres of nothing but cornfields and it is flooded, you know, all out of everywhere. So we're taking that spot and scope after we kill those widgeons. We go back down there later on that week and we're looking through the spot and scope and we're zooming in. Boom. See it. Big bull sprig pintails. And around here, there's not a whole lot of pintails. Mm-hmm. Bunch of mallards, bunch of gadwalls, bunch of wood ducks. Not a lot of widgeons or pintails. So we see those pintails and we devise us a good plan.
Oh, yeah. The mastermind here comes up with a good plan.
He's been doing that R&D.
R&D. Mm-hmm. R&D. So R&D at this turned out to be really dumb.
No.
We take layout blinds. Me, Skyler, and Brian, put them on the dam, brush them in that night, let them sit there for 2 or 3 days. Well, we decided to hunt. We decide to hunt, so we're getting them layout blinds.
To get calm and
I wanted them to get used to it.
Get adjusted. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
familiar.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not be scared.
Yeah.
Well, they show up that morning. We decide to go. Me, Skyler, and Brian, we're laying flat on our back, you know, side by side. And there's probably 200 or 300 birds just swimming around after daylight. Well, here comes the pintails. Well, they light, I don't know, 80 yards from us. So we sit there for probably, what, an hour, 2 hours?
Thinking they're going to get a little closer.
Yeah. Those ducks were closer to my feet than I am to that coffee cup or to that Coke cup right there.
The other one's swimming.
Like there's ducks. Our layout blinds are, if this is the water, our feet are just barely in dry land. And there is ducks right here, like walking, feeding. And we're in these layout blinds grassed in. They have no idea that we're there. And there's 300 of them in a spot the size of this building. Like just.
And the pintails are 80 yards on the other side of the building.
And they're 80 yards from us. And we're just going to wait it out. And we're like trying to communicate, like, again, for technology.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have cell phones to text, like, hey, don't move. Yeah. Pintails are down there. So, like, we would wait. And we'd talk, and they'd, you know, kind of flutter out there. And then here in a minute, that, you know, some more would come back. Well, sure enough, here comes the pintails.
Well, they get close, and we're going to shoot them on three. One, two, we said three. All you see is feet of ducks. They can get up faster than you can shoot them.
Oh, yeah. Like from the time we
opened
the blind up, pick the gun up, and raise up and shoot. Boom, boom, boom. We drop 9 shells on these ducks, and they're 15 yards out in front of us. There's 15, 20 pintails, just big bull sprig mm-hmm. pintails right there.
What did we kill? A wood duck?
We dropped. we shot 9 shells and killed 2 Drake wood ducks, or excuse me, 2 hen wood ducks and a gadwall.
Got them done, boys.
Are still flying.
They're alive and kicking. They're alive and kicking.
Well, it ain't always success. I was thinking for just a second when you said you'd went down there and brushed everything in and left it there. I was thinking it was going a different route in as much as I figured there would have been a snake done piled up in one of them.
Oh, if that had been a snake, he could have it. Like, snake or frog, I'm out. No, no, no.
Not a big reptile guy.
Frog in there with
no,
a snake.
No, I'd rather open that blind up and there'd be a grizzly bear in there than a frog. No, not having it. I draw the line at that.
I've never heard of anybody that's afraid of a frog.
No.
We do find some snake skins periodically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the water is cold enough to, you know, now in early goose season and teal season, it's not. There's, mm-hmm. you know, the old no-shoulder guys are still out. But during duck season, you don't have a whole lot of snakes. But if there had been a snake or a frog in there, I'd have vacated the premises.
Gone.
Done. Well, speaking of vacating, I think it's about time for us to vacate. But I appreciate you guys coming down here today.
Yeah, ma'am.
Fantastic. Drove down after school.
We did. Good old Collinsville, Alabama. The Panthers. We're off this Friday. We got Cedar Bluff next Friday at Cedar Bluff.
Playing North sand shore or something like that.
My buddy, I talked to my buddy who's offensive coordinator this morning. He's offensive coordinator at Auburn High School. And I said, hey, man, you know, who you got? Who y'all got this week? And I hadn't talked to him in a while, you know, and I was kind of telling him, you know, about this duck hunt and everything, and just kind of catching up, you know, on the way to school. And I said, who y'all got? He said, we got North Miami Beach. And to tell you how much better football coach he is than I am, I said, oh, man, that's awesome. He said, yeah, they're pretty athletic. He said, I think I've got a pretty good game plan in for them. You know, they're really athletic. They're very well coached. And, maybe we can figure out a way to win. You know, and Auburn High School's,
they're big time.
Oh, well, that's big time ball. Well, anyway, he asked me, he said, hey, who you got this week? And I said, well, man, we're off tonight. I said, we played Appalachian last week in a jamboree, but we're off this Friday. He said, well, who you got next week? I said, we're going to North Weiss Lake Sandbar. And he said, do what? I said, yeah, we're going to North Weiss Lake Sandbar. He said, what? I said, we got Cedar Bluff. So I live on Weiss Lake, and across Weiss Lake from me is
the sandbar.
So I wanted to make it sound like prestigious.
Yeah, it does. It sounds churched it up.
And Cedar Bluff, I'm not making fun of Cedar Bluff, because Cedar Bluff has got a great program. They got great coaches. They're a good group of guys. They work hard, and their coaches do a great job with their kids. And it is unbelievable how many college athletes, you know, come out of that small school. So, you know, we'll have our work cut out for us, but, you know, we're excited to play them. And it's always a good place for a high school football game. So if you boys ain't got nothing going on, you know, come out.
Come on up here and check them out.
It'll be a good one. They've got a good team this year, and hopefully we can compete with them.
Well, all right. Well, one more time. So here it is. So this is the Dove Hunt Flyer. That's going to go up, the draw for that on August 31st. Everybody that puts $25 in for the raffles entered for this. And if they win this, they still get a chance for that. So anyway, find this online. You can, Skylar Ray is now on TikTok as well. What's your handle on TikTok? Because you've been announcing this pretty good.
I have no idea, to tell you the truth.
So he's got a media manager.
Coach Ray
something or another, yeah.
1987.
That's exactly what it is.
Is that what it is? I have no idea. Well, as you can tell, Coach Ray hadn't been advertising on TikTok because Coach Ray don't know how to advertise on TikTok.
It is Coach Ray 1987.
I'll tell you what you ought to do.
That's the year I was born. I'm an 87 model. I'm a Scottsdale.
I figured that might have
been. I'm a Scottsdale.
What you ought to do is get that stash to announce it a few times for you.
Man, I'm telling you. That right, look, you look like Burt Reynolds. I tell you what y'all boys need. Y'all need a bearskin rug. Mm. Kind of let that hamburger meat come out the top of
maybe
that T-shirt.
Maybe that's 2.0.
Well, I don't know if your wife would like that very much.
He's got to start cutting the collars on the, you know, how ooh, they used
the
to do
V in the neck, yeah. Rolling the cigarettes up in the sleeve. Golden Moon. I'm going to change his contacts in my phone. The Golden Moon.
No, please don't do that. Know me for something better than that. But anyway, well, that's going to do it here at the Hey Now Bound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm scared. Oh.
You are.
I'm Ryan.
Oh, it done changed up on us.
I'm the square grouper guy.
There you go.
We'll see you guys next week.